You're with Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, you better believe it. It is Friday, the 12th of April, 2024. This is TNT, today's News Talk. I'm Rick Munn. This is Locked and Loaded. Had a really excellent first hour. I'm not going to lie, I really enjoyed it. Speaking with Miri Finch and also with the legendary Basil Valentine and, of course, Gemma Cooper, having a little bit of crack, a little bit of banter, as they say over here. Because, listen, if you can't have a little bit of crack and a little bit of banter, you ain't going to make it, folks. You can be as serious as you like. You can down all those rabbit holes all you like. But if you can't have a laugh at least once a day, you ain't going to make it. I'm just telling you that now. Spoiler alert. Get a sense of humor. If you don't have one, buy one. They're probably selling them on Amazon and eBay. Get yourself a sense of humor and install it in your head and use it at every given opportunity. We still have plenty more to come here in this hour. I'll be talking to Jem again in just a minute. And then I'm going to be joined by Chris Thrall, Royal Marine Commando, Green Beret. He's done some active service here in Northern Ireland. Hopefully we didn't bump into each other in the past in the worst possible way. Probably didn't, because I'm still alive. He's an author as well. He's written two books, one called Eating Smoke and another one called 40 Nights, detailing how he used chronic addiction to spur him on to achieve all of his life's goals. So a really motivational, encouraging kind of guy to talk to on a Friday, which is great. Talking about push for UK conscription as well. And then Aisling O'Loughlin will be joining me to end the first hour, or the second hour, and the week. Not even the second hour, and the week. Yeehaw! Here on Locked and Loaded on TNT. So, yeah, all that's still to come. Gandering around at what's happening in the world. Gold. Something we've talked about an awful lot here on TNT. Me and my little army of, advisors, financial advisors, me being one in the past. In the dark old days, I used to be an insurance man. And then it got worse. I went and worked for a multinational bank. So anyway, gold. Remember that old Spandau Ballet song, Gold? Well, gold hits record highs at this point in time, touching $2,400 an ounce. In case you missed it, from Michael Harnett, an explosion in gold shows investors are prepping for the end games. Currency collapse, fiat currency collapse. Talked about it this week with Melissa Chumet. I'm going to be talking about it next week with my old chum Parallel Mike. Old D.D. Denslow back in the day. He was a big fan of precious metal investment. Very foolishly, I think, told everybody that he had a huge stash of gold and silver in his flat. But anyway, he never gave the address away, so he didn't need to put it in a vault. But make of that what you will, we're advocates of precious metal investment here, if you can afford to do it. You know, some people can just afford to buy, you know, a loaf of bread and a pint of milk at the shops, let alone investing in gold. But I'm just saying it's an alternative investment vehicle for the imminent fiat currency collapse. And it's doing very, very well at the minute. Very, very well. Scottish police are dealing with hate crime calls. They have been handed a script to defend Yusuf Humza from alleged racist hate speech from his now infamous all white people are in positions of power in Scotland some years ago. They've actually been given scripts now. So many people are phoning up complaining about Humza Yusuf. I keep getting his name wrong. I keep calling him Yusuf Humza. It's Humza Yusuf. My apologies to him. That is not intentional disrespect. I just never checked on his name recently. Call handlers dealing with hate crime incidents against Humza Yusuf. Scotland Police Scotland staff have issued an email guide advising them of lines to give in response to claims that he gave a racist speech at Holyrood at the height of the Black Lives Matter movement back in June 2020, when he was then the Justice Secretary. So imagine that. They've had so many complaints about this guy, they actually have to send out an email circular to try and bat off all the complaints that are flooding in against this chap. Lastly, another bit of good news here, tremendous news, according to Billboard Chris, who's a big anti-transgender, child mutilation campaigner from Canada. The ban on puberty blockers will now be enforced in England's private sector. Now, this came out just yesterday. England's health regulator will take enforcement action against private clinics that prescribe puberty blockers to under 18. So we are seeing the cracks starting to appear in this one, but think about the amount of damage that has already been done at this point in time. And yesterday, I think we covered a story about freedom of information, where the details of 9,000 kids that have went through these procedures hasn't been revealed yet. Their fate, apparently they've inquired about their fate, which doesn't sound too good, and that information was also being withheld. So it's a real filthy, dirty mess what these people have done to children in the name of science and progression and wokery. And in my opinion, anyone that's been involved in this should be jailed, should be arrested, charged, have their day in court, and possibly face jail time for mutilating children. Child abuse, there's no two ways about it. But anyway, that's what's catching my eye this morning. Got to take a brief pause. Gemma Cooper, our news correspondent, is primed and waiting to enter the fray here this morning with more breaking news. Don't go away. This is TNT.
The latest headlines waiting for you.
I follow the news pretty much throughout the day.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Nice to see stuff, the cracks appearing in the plaster, the cracks appearing in the dam. We're seeing it with this CAS report. We're seeing with this withheld freedom of information. We're seeing it now with this blockade being put in these puberty blockers. We're seeing it in ULEZ zones in some places. They're starting to be withheld back or rolled back because they're unpoliceable and they're just causing no end of madness and carnage and hassle and headache for people. Are you starting to see the unraveling?
Oh, I've been seeing it since 2020, and it's been a delight to watch. And we're part of it. I myself have my own unraveling as a result of what was happening to us, and it's not stopped. That's what's so wonderful about the events of the last 4 years. And we like to take us out on a positive note on a Friday, don't we? We try at least as we're heading into the weekend. It is unraveling. I'd like it to be unraveling quicker, but I think it's unraveling at a divine pace and in its own divine timing. And when you think about what narratives are actually crumbling, the CAS review in itself actually is such a brilliant piece of work, 4 years in the making, as a direct result of the fact that from 2020 onwards, a record amount of children were suddenly unhappy in their own bodies. Well, when you isolate them from other children and you put the fear of God into them, of course they're going to be unhappy and they'll clutch at any straw to try and figure out what the reason is. And if you've got indoctrination and ideology coming from God knows what global think tank, they'll latch onto it. Thankfully, somebody is now calling it out. She is to be applauded. She's one of us. I'd love to get her on TNT, Dr. Hilary Cass, the consultant pediatrician, the author of that report. She's been very busy doing the rounds in the mainstream. And a lot of the mainstream, not all, but a lot, have really given her her dues for what she's come out and said. Basically, there's no evidence to give kids puberty blockers. There never was. It's Big Pharma. You know, remind you of anything, Rick? So that's been a real, real positive step this week. And a lot of people now getting behind J.K. Rowling, who's never backed down on her stance on the trans ideology. So there are so many narratives crumbling. And also what's really nice to see, personally myself, on a local level, is the amount of people from the freedom movement that I now see. And we can't really call it anything else but the freedom movement at the moment. But I see a standing now in local and also the general elections, which are going to be called. People are going to be standing. They don't expect to win, but they expect to change the discourse of the debate. And I think that is incredible. And hats off to anyone who before 2020 would never have dreamed of getting involved in politics. They're now getting into the fray and saying, look, listen to us. We're a voice that needs to be heard. So I think that's brilliant as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny old thing, the politics, because there's a lot of people out there, and I've talked about this with a few guests this week, are so disenfranchised, so disillusioned, so distrustful of the entire so-called democratic process that it's like, okay, I'm not voting at all, spoil your ballot, do whatever. The bottom line is this current system as it is at the minute, it doesn't matter if 6-10 million people don't turn out to vote. There's still going to be people voting and they're still going to have this process in place. And at the best solution, if you want to call it a solution, that I've heard from anybody, is one of the guests that I have on is called David Thunder. He's a political philosopher, and he said, listen, there has to be a complete wiping the slate completely clean and getting rid of every remnant of the legacy political parties, the like of the Tories or the Lib Dems or the Labour Party, and anything that does come in that has to have any type of integrity at all has to be independent with no links and no ties to, influencers. And I know, again, it's hard not to be cynical and say, well, nobody can get into that position unless, you know, they're installed there and they've got backers and they've got handlers. But, you know, what else can people do? Because the whole sit back, don't vote, spoil your vote, that's not going to change anything either. There's still going to be elections and there's still going to be people put in place, whether we like it or not. That's unless there's a complete massive physical revolution here, France style, or, overturning, military coup style. This is just going to remain in place. And it's good to see young people, especially. I had a guest on yesterday, Eloise Schultz. She was the young person's spokeswoman for the Heritage Party in the UK. They're getting together. More and more young people are putting themselves forward as independent candidates. And if nothing else, it shows that there's a bit of a shift going on politically, and it's not for the worse. It's not for the worse.
It isn't. And also, I think this is a very British way of doing it. I don't think we're one for military coups, and I don't think we're one for French style revolutions. I think we will do this by stealth because we're very British. We have manners. We do this the British way. And the amount of people I see standing as ostensibly on the freedom mantra, the freedom doctrine that we've been standing on for the last 4 years, it is at least an excuse to get campaign material through letterboxes. It is an excuse to get people interested in counter arguments by virtue of the political process. The Light Paper, for example, in the UK, has done a brilliant job of raising awareness about certain issues, but it's very much in an echo chamber now. It's very much preaching to its own audience. When it tries to move outside its own audience, it meets still with quite a frosty response. Not always, but sometimes. But when you're doing it under the guise of an election, it's campaigning material. It's election material. People will want to pick it up as, well, let's see what these people have to say. That might move a few people in the right direction. As a lot of people are saying, I'll just name one, for example, Debbie Hicks from the Keep It Cash campaign. She's going to stand in Swindon as a candidate. She says she's got no intention of winning. She's not under any illusions, but it is a chance to change the discourse. It is a chance to bring a different slant to the argument, apart from the main ones we always hear from the uni party. And it is a uni party now, whether it's Tories or Labour or Lib Dem, if you even want to count them as part of the process. It's one party. You know, it doesn't matter who's in charge. It's still the same policies, effectively. That happened with Tony Blair onwards and has never changed, So I do think it's good. It will be a long process. It won't happen overnight, but it's beginning. It's beginning, Rick. And that's the legacy of 2020, this shift in trying to create the new, which we're trying to do here with TNT, with media, and other people are trying to do via the political process. It's beginning. This is a long game we're playing, but it's beginning. And I think on a Friday, let's take that as a win.
You see, as you're talking, I'm getting a vision. I'm getting a vision here. Okay, I'm seeing something in front of me manifesting. It says TNT party, the TNT party. How does that sound to you? Huh?
I've mooted that before. Where did I talk about that? I think it's on the Freeman Report with James Freeman. And of course, he is an ex-MEP. And he said, oh, no, there are lots of rules surrounding, companies doing political parties. And I meant it as a joke, Or did I? Should we? Global TNT in every country standing for election. Let's see where it goes, Rick.
Do you know what? I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place here, because if I reverted back to my old self, the old Rick Munn, pre-1998, okay, I would make a really good politician. I'm a great manipulator. I'm good at talking shit, and I'm good at getting things done. Well, I would be a great politician pre-98 days. I've got a few morals, and I've changed my life for the better, and all the qualities that would have made me a good politician in the past have gone. But there's still that little dark corner of me that flares up from time to time. I could see myself up there, in my pinstripe suit, giving it to the masses out there, cult leader-esque, Manson-esque. I don't know. I'm joking, of course. But yeah, you do have to be a certain type of person to be a politician. And I don't know that I could do this, or you could do this plus do that. But who knows, Gemma? Who knows? Anything's possible going forward. Never say never.
Absolutely. Well, I'll just come on to a few brief headlines before we wrap up this segment. I know we're coming up to time here, but talking of politics, very interesting. David Cameron has been lauded this morning here in the UK by his old mate George Osborne, who used to be his chancellor when Cameron was PM. George Osborne has come out and he's made his career in the media since leaving politics. And he said how wonderful Cameron is, how he's acting like the prime minister on the world stage. And he's doing more to bring the foreign relations, bring foreign relations up to speed. speed like no foreign minister has ever done before, despite the fact he's unelected. And this comes just less than 24 hours since Boris Johnson at a US university said he wouldn't rule out a return to frontline politics if he thought he could give something back. Doesn't it sound like here we're being primed to get the old guard back together, the Bullingdon Club? The elites, they're all gathering ranks behind the scenes. So if you are thinking of standing independently as part of one of us, the Freedom Alternative Movement, whatever you want to call it, there's never been a better time. Never been a better time. We'll leave it there. That's one of the main headlines doing the rounds at the moment.
And a good way to leave it indeed. You could certainly do a fantastic job PR-wise or even as a representative in the TNT party, or maybe even both, multi-talented, multifaceted and all that jazz. So that's fantastic news headlines for me this morning, Gemma, and I hope you have an absolutely brilliant weekend. We shall reconvene again on Monday. I've got to take a break now and prepare myself for the next guest who's incoming right now. Don't go away. This is Locked and Loaded TNT. We'll be right back.
TNT is an independent global news talk station that does what others only say they do. TNT is a live radio and TV broadcaster that simply tells the truth 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No one in the world does what we do, crisscrossing the globe, providing credible news and opinion all day and all night. In 2.5 years, TNT has become a credible and exciting platform with brilliant hosts and staff. It's a critical time, and we must continue to call out the misinformation and propaganda from mainstream media and their powerful sponsors. We're now appealing to our many friends and supporters around the world to go to tntradio.live and make a small donation to TNT while we seek the right investors to continue our important mission.
Turn on Alexa and ask her to play
TNT.
Turning on anything else usually requires dinner and conversation, dressing up and brushing your teeth. I'm already tired.
This is today's news talk. TNT.
Yes, TNT, today's news talk. I'm really happy to be joined for the first time here on the show, Unlocked and Loaded, by none other than Chris Thrall. Chris is he was there. He's just disappeared again. We're going to try and reconnect him again. But just while we're doing that, I'll do a little bit of an intro here. All being well, the connection will be reestablished. Yes, he's back again. I'm just giving you an intro here, Chris. Chris is an ex-Royal Marine Commando Green Beret. He's seen active service in Northern Ireland. He's an author of the books Eating Smoke and also 40 Nights, which details how he used chronic addiction as a springboard to achieve all of his life's goals. And to be honest with you, Chris, if I was to read out everything that you've done and everywhere that you've been, we wouldn't get to talk about anything else. You're a very busy individual, and I'm really glad to see you on the show here this morning. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic, Rick. Thank you. And thanks for your kind words.
Not a problem at all. And listen, I was looking over your background there last night, all the things that you've been doing. One of the things that I latched onto, though, was I had a chap on yesterday as well. He's an ex-Royal Scots Guards, the Queen's bodyguard, a chap by the name of... what's his name? Dave Bogie, I think it was. But he's written a book anyway, from heroin to hero. Interesting to see some of your background as well there. You spent a little bit of time over in the Far East wrestling with a little bit of addiction on there. But it really was what was instrumental in turning your whole life around for the better. How did all that come about?
Yeah, so... Rick, where this has led me is there's no such thing as bad experiences. There's only experience.
Uh-huh.
And I find myself in a place now in life where I consider I live in paradise, as dare I say, an enlightened individual. I realize all the answers come from within. So if I'm not feeling it on a certain day, it's not the universe I blame or... you know, politics or current, I have to look at myself, look at how I'm conducting my life, in enlightenment circles, we talk about having a hermetic seal, which is doing the things you need to do to keep your body's biochemistry functioning in the way that nature intended. And when you do that, everything's gravy. So when you start going down the alleyway of self-medicating, whether that's with, you know, too many glasses of wine a night, or becoming addicted to stuff online, or not doing your exercise, or a lot of people, we do this cold water immersion now. That's when things, you know, they start to slide and the old dark energy gets in there and you don't realize it, but you start to lose your happiness. And you very kindly talk about my military background, but it's kind of ironic. I was also voted as English Veteran of the Year for 2022, and yet I'm the most anti-military industrial complex person. I get it. I've used all that experience just to keep me on the journey. What I've learned in life is never be the victim. Life doesn't do to you, you do to life. And always be grateful, you know, no matter what this, whatever this thing is that we're in, whether it's a simulation or God's creation, or what I like to think a manifestation of the quantum energy field, it's beautiful. And, you know, once you start to express gratitude for it, then you open a portal to let the light in. And once it's with you, it can't go away again.
Yeah, I agree with that. And interesting you said there about, despite that the military background that you have at the minute, you would be, you know, anti-industrial war complex. Strangely enough, though, had you not went through that experience joining the Marines at 18, becoming a commander, the deployments that you did, all the stuff that you learned there, you probably wouldn't be in this position today. It has led you to this point, but with the benefit, I suppose, of life and, you know, when you're getting on a bit, and I've just turned up to 51 this year, I'm reflecting a lot more in life now, trying to make the best of what time that I have left. And I am the big believer that the best is still to come, because if you have a mindset of the glory days, I was 18, I was a young lad, I was traveling the world. If you think your best days are behind you, well, then that means you're on a downward slope into the abyss or into the grave or wherever it is you think you're going. So I think you have to maintain that mindset that the best is always ahead of you. Today's the best day you've had maybe so far, but tomorrow should be better still. Or is that too utopian in my thinking?
No, you're bang on, mate. And let's not forget the present, because if we live in the past, it can lead to depression. Take the good from the past and that's it, and take the lessons, and the rest of it has to stay behind. You know, I get people saying to me, Chris, I was never in the military. And I'm like, whoa, stop. Why are you comparing yourself to me? Why are you thinking that being a hired assassin, essentially, is suddenly, you know, that's the past. That's an anchor. That's holding you back. And conversely, living in the future, which we don't, we live in the now, the future doesn't exist. That's anxiety, isn't it? You know, that's worrying. That generally tends to be like worried you're not living up to other people's expectations or their achievements or da-da-da-da-da. So no, you're bang on. And I think, as your previous guest says, we're in a beautiful period at the moment, because lots of people are becoming aware that we've been subjected to a control matrix. Yeah, it's an interesting period. And the one thing I'd say to anyone is, yes, we are aware, like the last 3 years, for example, what utter load of nonsense. And you've only got to look who profits from these things. And also the events that lead up to war, just see them for, you know, just question them and ask who profits. And what we have to be careful of is creating further division as we go forward.
A host united again. A host united will stand, but a host that's divided against itself will fall. And that's what we're seeing everywhere, Chris. I think is the wedges of division being driven in left, right, and center among just about every group. And the one group that aren't divided are the globalists that I feel that are trying to inflict all this control and this dystopia upon us. Even though they don't like each other, I feel they're certainly working together in lockstep to try and bring about control. But that can't happen if we're unified and we're light instead of being a part of their darkness. We've got to take a little headline break right now, just for 30 seconds. When we come back at the other side, there was a guy who is on our live chat a lot on TNTradio.live. His name is Molly Bites. He's an ex-service member, and he suffered from a little bit of PTSD. And he told me about a group in Wales, it's an English charity called Combat Stress. They help veterans to deal with PTSD and get through hard times. I want to look at, if we can, with yourself, the availability of help that's out there for ex-forces members, because a lot of people are coming out of the forces having had deployments, for example, in the Middle East or in Northern Ireland or in different places like that, coming out with some trauma, and it's never been fully dealt with, and that could end up in addiction or homelessness. What's actually being done to help veterans out there? If you can, I'd like to talk to you about that before we close off our session together here. So we'll do that when we come back in about 30 seconds time. Stay tuned for more here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
Now, TNT Radio News.
You are completely obsessed with
breaking news.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder, has been detained in London's Belmarsh prison for 5 years, a situation Amnesty International described as a mockery of the USA's international law obligations. Russia is contemplating the deployment of its intermediate-range nuclear-capable missiles, possibly alongside China, in response to the United States' revival of such weapons, according to the Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Ryabkov.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
Okay, I'm talking this morning with Chris Thrall. I have explained that he has a background in the military, Royal Marine Commando, Green Beret, active service all around the world. Let me just say this. The best thing to do is check out his website, Chris Thrall, thrall.com. You'll find out about what he's about now, not what he was about back then, but where he's at the minute, the things that he's doing, the inspiration that he's become to very, very many people, and also the great work that he's doing fundraising for charity as well. You can find that on his website. Chris, I just want to talk about post-forces or post-deployment or when people leave the military. And like I said, I have a few friends who are in that position at the minute, and they're struggling at the minute mentally. They're really, really struggling mentally. And the one thing that I'm seeing, speaking to guests here on the show, and by the way, the guy I had on yesterday, his name was Paul Bogey, former Buckingham Palace Scots Guard. He wrote that book, From Heroine to Hero. Same type of story. He was left hand dry when he left the military. There wasn't really any counselling available. You were brushed off to the side. Combat Stress is a charity that's in the UK. One of our guests, Molly Bites, told me about that. I've looked into that as well. What is it like coming outside of a deployment? In your case, you know, you can only speak from personal experience. What was your experience of coming out of the military, being left with what you'd experienced there? Was there anywhere to turn to, or was there a place you could go to, or were you pretty much just left to your own devices?
Rick, I think it's important for people to understand the whole PTSD thing. It's a bit of a get off the hook card that the government play. And when I say government, I'm also talking about the big club, as we call them, that control the puppet governments of the planet. The trauma comes in it for, I think I'm fair to say, speak for a lot of service leavers that fall on their ass like I did. The trauma comes in at childhood. A lot of us joined up because we had extremely fractured, traumatic childhoods. We couldn't see a way forward in a regular career, or it just didn't have that kind of interest. And we sought to prove ourselves through joining the military. In my case, you know, I joined the Marines because they told me it was the toughest infantry level training on the planet. And I thought, right, now I can, you know, prove to those people that doubted me and da 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 da. Well, what happens is you go through a very sheltered career, believe it or not. In the military, all you got to do is say yes sir, even when you don't mean it, and you get paid 24/7, full sickness benefit, you know, all your health taken care of. You get jollies, as we call them, all around the planet. I mean, I sailed to Barbados once, for crying out loud. It was one of the best months of my life. And what happens is you leave the forces and you haven't healed that trauma in any way, shape or form, because you've been too preoccupied with, you know, with a fairly sort of cozy job. And when I say cozy, you know, we volunteered to go to war. That was our job. You know, it wasn't a punishment or something. It wasn't something we had. I mean, we're not saying it's pleasant, but
yeah.
And what happens is you come out and you get into the reality of what we call civvy street, so civilian life. And it's a big culture shock. You're dealing with people that maybe don't have the same moral fiber that people do in the forces, or do or don't. But, and as a result, this triggers off your trauma. What's trauma? How does that manifest? Well, it's flight or fight mechanism, isn't it? It's your stress levels rising. And the problem comes in is we start then self-medicating with alcohol or substances. And this only provides a short-term respite from these feelings of stress. And of course, it leads to a longer-term downside, which is why you get the negative spiral. Before you know it, you know, the wife has said, honey, I can't be around this. I don't like you when you're like this. I'm taking the kids. We're going to grandma's. So then you're on your own. Then you're spending all your money, you know, on the things you shouldn't be. You can't pay your bills. And this is why we have the severe mental health crisis. I mean, yeah. We have one in life, but in the veterans community, it's really, you know, highlighted. We have a high suicide statistic and also home and homelessness. And yes, this is all to do really with healing trauma and these wonderful organizations, like you say, like Combat Stress, but there's a whole load more that don't even get a mention, Rick. You know,
yeah.
There's little ones that just take veterans out camping, or doing bushcraft, this kind of thing. And you know, we need to stop thinking of PTSD as something that only military get when they've seen horrendous stuff in battle. I mean, that's true. When we're in a Northern Ireland conflict, one of our boys was shot dead. I think we'd only been there 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I was not, you know, we were like 19 years old, for crying out loud. We just had to go out the next day armed with a fully automatic weapon and do our jobs. And that's what we signed up to do. And I completely dealt. It wasn't even an issue for me. It wasn't pleasant, but it wasn't traumatizing in any way. But having as a child, let's just say, you know, you're getting kicked from pillar to post as a toddler, or horrendously worse stuff that I won't even mention. You've got no way of dealing with that. You don't have the mental faculty to be able to compartmentalize it, make sense of it. So what you do is you lock it away. And this is why you see so many veterans come out the forces and that locked away trauma is still there. And then it comes out as, you know, some people refer to it as energy halving, an energy harvesting parasite, you know, dark entity, whatever. But and this we need to recognize. And I'm not saying that, you know, let's say you see three of your mates get blown to bits in Afghanistan. I'm not saying that that's not traumatizing. Of course I'm not. But remember, you are an adult when you deal with that. And there's very, you know, it's extremely different. And you know, this broadens it then, doesn't it? You can see PTSD isn't just a military thing. It's a societal thing. And we've all been conditioned and damaged. I mean, you talk about the you were talking about the transgender agenda. I mean,
yeah,
geez, you know, we're all purposely being damaged.
Yeah, there was a guest, just as we close this one off, just to bring on the point that you've made there, Chris, had a guest on earlier this week. She was talking about children that have been abused, that have been sent to boarding schools from a very, very young age. She had three brothers that were all abused. They all have post-traumatic stress disorder. They've never seen military conflict. They've never seen anyone shot and killed, but they've been in extremely traumatic experiences for prolonged periods of time as children and not being able to do anything about it. So childhood trauma manifesting itself. And she said when her brothers were in their 40s and their 50s that it was only really starting to come to the surface too. So it's a really deep and complex issue. It's good to be able to talk to you about it here this morning. I'd love to talk to you about it a little bit more, but I can't because we're out of time. But I will direct people again to your website, christhrall.com. Go on there, check out the video uploads that Chris has, his backstory there, and of course you'll be able to see some of the books that he's written as well. So big thanks,
Rick,
to you.
Can I just give a quick shout out? I'm rowing the Atlantic Ocean in a rowing boat in December.
Okay.
I'm doing it with fellow traumatized combat veterans. We've all recovered. Mm-hmm. We're shining a light for our fellow veterans and anyone out there who's struggling. And we're going to be making some money for some very worthwhile charities. We're called Oceans Elite Row. A bit of a play on Oceans 11, but Oceans Elite Row. If people can come and support us on social media or chuck a fiver in our fundraiser, I'd really, really appreciate it.
Is there a way, you're called Oceans Elite Row. Is that the name of a website as well, or where people can go to make it?
Just add Oceans Elite Row. .com and you'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, etc.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. No better way to round this off then. Never mind christhrall.com. Get yourself on the oceanseliteroad.com and support the lads as they attempt to row across the Atlantic Ocean. Not attempt. They're going to do it. I've no doubt about that later on this year in December. Chris, thank you so much for taking your time out this morning to come on and talk to us. Hopefully we'll stay in contact. We'll get updates from you as this project progresses throughout the year, of course, leading up to your transatlantic row at the end of 2024. So that's Chris Thrall. I'm Rick Munn. We've got to take a pause now and welcome Aisling O'Loughlin into the studio. So don't go away. Stay tuned for more here on TNT, Today's News Talk.
When the world's endangered animals need help most, when their lives are at greatest risk, when they would otherwise be lost. The International Fund for Animal Welfare is there, taking action to rescue the animals we love, to protect them and their threatened natural habitats. But the danger to animals the world over is growing, and the need for your help has never been more urgent. On land, you'll help stop poachers from threatening and killing elephants and big cats for the illegal wildlife trade. In the oceans, you'll help rescue dolphins, whales, and seals from deadly hazards. And you'll help rescue, rehabilitate, and release vulnerable animals when disasters strike. Here at home and around the world, we can't do this work without you. See how you can help animals and people thrive together at joinifall.org.
My dad was a farmer. The guy was bigger than life. He wasn't someone that liked to show his emotion or liked to show when he was struggling, but we all struggle. I want to show emotion to my kids. It's something that brings me so much joy, and I want them to see me working through things. Allow your kids to know that it's okay to struggle, that even dad doesn't know the answer sometimes, but we're gonna figure it out together.
Rick Mon is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, rounding off the week, going out with a bang, I hope, here with the one and only Aisling O'Loughlin. Aisling is a journalist. She's a writer and also a broadcaster based in here in the Emerald Isle of Ireland. You can check out her Substack, aislingoloughlin.substack.com, and under her Rumble channel also, Aisling O'Loughlin News. I was thinking about your name before you came on this morning. I think you need to change it to something simpler like Dana or Enya. Aisling O'Loughlin 1_ you're killing yourself off here, Aisling.
Yeah, it's self-sabotage. I know. I need a showbiz name. What do they do? What do the porn stars do again? They take their
It's the name of your first pet and then your mother's maiden name. So if you want to reveal that.
Well, maybe next time I'll be rebranded. I might get a bit of plastic surgery as well and see how far I get, you know. But I do think part of all of this is the humbling experience, you know, especially having come from the mainstream media. There's the humbling experience of losing all your followers, having no followers, being told you're stupid, being cast out. I think that's all part of it because, you know, we're not in the beast system. The beast system rewards. You know, we'll give you loads of accolades and awards and all the rest. You can go behind the red rope as long as you follow the narrative. But when you're not following the narrative, well, just watch everybody's scarper. You're on your Toblerone. And I do think that's part of the test. So, but maybe, yeah, maybe I need to change my name. No, I won't be doing that.
Even drop the O'Loughlin, just stay as Aisling because it's people outside of Ireland don't understand that. Asho, there you go, that's perfect. A-S-H-O. Work on it. Yeah, get yourself some brand rebranding happening over the weekend. But talk about rebranding. The Irish government, since the last time you and I conversed, so much happens in such a short space of time. Leo Varadkar is gone. Simon Coveney is gone. Harris is in, or is he? He didn't show up for work on the first day. Mary Lou McDonald took to social media, made a little nasty video clip. Then we had him on TikTok talking about how busy he's been all day. It seems to be he's got off to a social media war with Mary Lou McDonald, never mind doing anything for the people of Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, where are his priorities? His Ukraine are his priorities. I mean, he's made that perfectly clear on the phone to Zelensky. He's planning a trip to the Ukraine. Do we call it the Ukraine? It's just Ukraine now, isn't it? So that's his priorities. It's made it perfectly clear on the first day. He's been on TikTok. He's good at this kind of thing. You know, he's kind of smarmy. And I'd say they just throw him any old script and he will say whatever is on that piece of paper and put his heart and soul into it, make it look like he means it. And I think that's why he was picked for the job. I think, you know, Varadkar had gone as far as he's going to go. He clearly ran out of steam, people utterly fed up. I still hear people around me saying, Simon Harris is all right. You know, he's nice. Family man. So he's got the family persona going on. And I think that's going to, I don't know. I mean, it's getting smaller and smaller and weaker their power every day. This immigration thing is crunching their bones now. The people have woken up. They are stirring and they're getting increasingly angry and they're beginning to see through this facade. They are now understanding that the mainstream media are in the pockets of the government. They are just literally acting as a propaganda arm of the government. They're not getting the proper news, they're not getting the proper information. They're now looking on aghast, going, why did we ever believe these feckers in the first place? Where are they leading us? What's going to happen next? So we're very, very unsettled. We can see Virgin Media did a piece there on immigration and they were really going now to tone it down. They weren't as unbalanced as we'd come to expect. So they were giving the so-called far right a fair enough hearing. That went out this week. So you can see now they're beginning to realize they're losing their audience. They're losing their effect. We're beginning to see the magician's tricks that we've been had as a nation. But some very worrying signs as well coming in. We see his Sheikh Dr. Umar Al-Qardri. He's now running for the European elections for Dublin. All right. So we're seeing this. We're seeing our country now being overrun, essentially. And now we're seeing these people who've got nothing to do with Ireland, right? They really don't, suddenly running for office. And we're being told that we're racist if we dare say a thing about it. So it's all to play for now, you know, with these European elections coming up. It's going to be local elections too. And we are seeing a whole raft of people like yourself and myself. I'm not obviously going for, not yet anyway. You never know. If things get desperate enough, I mean, it's for the crack as well. Anybody, it's going to be the anybody but Sinn Féin, anybody but Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, anybody but all these newcomers who've just rocked up and now think they're Irish. Wait a second, no, you're not. you know, you can't lay claim to the place that easily. That's not how it works. We wouldn't do it. We haven't gone off and done that in other countries. No, it's not going to work here. So, you know, it's all lining up. It's all getting quite fierce, really. And this is where we have to use our words, you know, and use our platforms and yeah, put forward our arguments as clearly as we possibly can, and reach that wider audience. But I do think it's a wonderful thing that is happening now, that people are beginning to see through it. Plus, here's an amazing thing that's happened. The Irish have finally got their sense of humor back. I mean, this is, the sense of humor disappeared during COVID. All the comedians, you know, dried up. They couldn't say a word. You really saw through them. I have no time for these comedians anymore. They are no longer funny. There's only very, very few ones that are now funny, and they're the ones that dared speak up. But I will say, memes and the crack that's going on online with this Kulak situation. I don't know if you heard about the phone that dropped from undercover journalist Paul Connolly's pocket. But the memes and the crack and the fun we are having, and as long as we're laughing at them, we are winning. You know, that is a huge tool in our armor, is taking the mickey and laughing at them.
Pouring scorn upon them. There's no two ways about it. And let's face it, they're giving us all the ammunition we could possibly want. When you look at the character, excuse me, of Simon Harris, you know, the first time I saw him, I thought about Frank Spencer from Some Mothers Do Have Him. You know, this hapless, you know, married to Betty, you know, mincing around the place. He's an oddball type character. He's almost like an Irish version of Rishi Sunak to me. He doesn't exactly instill confidence. You know, he's got the drain pipe trousers. He's got no shoulders. He's a little bit of an oddball, as they would say around my neck of the woods. That's Simon Harris. He had a chance when he came in. I think a lot of people aren't aware of the damage that man actually caused when the lockdowns were on. He prosecuted, he tried to pursue more people for fines and prison sentences because of breaking lockdown rules. He was very, very instrumental in that. So let's not be under
illusion. Oh, yeah. He wanted children, unvaccinated children, to stay away from school. Let's remember that one.
Yes, that's another thing. So let's not underestimate his capacity for totalitarianism. But I also think he's fumbled, because one of the first things that people were calling for when he became the Taoiseach was Helen McEntee, who I believe is the scourge of Ireland right now. Helen McEntee absolutely should have gone a long time ago, but it was a perfect chance for him even to move her out of that justice minister role in Ireland. But for fear that he was pandering to the far right, he's kept that menace of a woman in place. I think that could be the biggest boob that he's made right off the bat, was allowing McEntee to remain in her position as justice minister and also to remain in that cabinet. But no, I think he's fumbled greatly there.
Well, they're trolling us too. I mean, they are sticking our noses straight into it and saying, what are you going to do about it? What's one of the first thing McEntee does? Pours money into increasing funding for prisons and spaces in our Irish prisons. Spaces for who? For us? Is it for us, or is it for these newcomers that are coming in, and we're seeing criminality shoot right up because, of course, there's no vetting, no documents. We don't know who's come into the country, but we are looking at the courts and we are looking at rapes and we are looking at these very serious crimes shoot through the roof. And of course, we're not allowed, according to McEntee, to make the connection. But yeah, she's put the money into the prisons, and that's one of her first announcements, the cheek. And then, of course, holding on to this so-called hate speech bill, the anti-free speech bill, more like, and not backing down. And maybe that's why she's remained in the role, in that she won't blink, she won't flinch. She keeps going. She sticks to the script, robot-like. She won't back down. And I mean, these guys are getting crucified online. If you go onto X, and whatever we say about Elon Musk, thank God for X. You know, okay, he may want to brain chip us, but let's just park that up for now, because we're kind of desperate and we need this conversation. And when they go online, they are annihilated. Now, this is very good. This is very good for other people, because we were so censored before, so they didn't hear our voices. Now we're back on. We're back in the game, and we're winning the debate over and over and over again because we have common sense on our side. So this is good for Middle Ireland to witness this and see, wait a second, there's another side to this story. So I think there's going to be shock. I think it's filtering through slowly. We have a lot of brainwashing, a lot of propaganda to break through. But one thing we must continue to do is interrupt the brainwashing, interrupt the programming. And that's what we're doing every time we speak. Every time we're saying, hold on a minute, that's free money. Don't get too excited about the monopoly money. You know, don't get too bought off, guys. Remember your morals. Remember your principles. Remember your boundaries. We have to act like that to remind people, don't be so easily manipulated. It's beginning to work.
I think it is. And that again, scorn is poured upon. If you look at Varadkar's account, you look at Simon Harris's account, you look at Mary Lou McDonald's account, you look at Helen McAtee, anytime they post anything at all to reach as many people as they want to reach, they are jumped upon from a great height by people lambasting them and pouring scorn upon them. And it is quite a beautiful thing to see. And it does, you get a laugh, actually. I would check their pages out, not to see what they say, but to see what people say about what they say, because it cracks me up a lot of the times with some of the analogies they make to these so-called politicians and leaders. The other thing is about the dam bursting as well. I do think that the immigration thing will be what ultimately sinks whatever this you want to call this government at the minute. And the reason is, we've seen protests in the past. We've seen people getting together in Dublin in the past, people marching in London, a million people getting together in one place, marching on Parliament, doing whatever. Ireland's a little bit different. From what I've seen over the last 2 years, there's no central focus to the protests. So it's not like, okay, let's get all of Ireland together and march up O'Connell Street. No, this is happening in massive numbers all over the island. Okay, so it's happening out in the west, it's happening out towards Galway, it's happening down in Cork, it's happening over in Dublin, it's happening up towards the north, it's happening in Mayo, it's happening everywhere. People are hacked off, period. And they're not balaclava hoodlums throwing petrol bombs. They're old people, young people, women with children, couples going together. Just normal, everyday, salt of the earth, Irish people who have just had it to the back teeth with this. So there's no way of demonizing them per se, actually, because it's your granny and it's you, the wee woman who lives down the road. These aren't thugs that are being released from prison with, you know, born to die tattooed across their forehead. These are little Irish grannies and mammies and daddies and everybody in between. And it's hard to fight that.
Yeah, I mean, the war strategy is not working. It's now very clear what we're up against. We're up against very corrupt political parties. Sinn Féin really coming out as, you know, their Marxist true colours beginning to shine through. Not nationalists, absolute traitors. Now, they've boxed themselves in so badly with their stance because they're all pro-immigration, open borders, globalists. Essentially what they are globalist traitors. So now their people, you know, the people that they've spent how many decades building up as their followers who had bought into the whole Sinn Féin shtick are now realizing, wait a second, these guys aren't on our side at all. We see with the Green Party, you know, their Green Party nonsense. You know, it's an incredible time. It is an incredibly revealing time. Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil. No, not the parties that their followers, that their loyal and trusty followers thought they were. They've all sold out. They've all made some deal with the devil somewhere along the line. These representatives, bar a few. The independents now beginning to shine through. It's going to be very, very interesting. And the people waking up, the people now understanding it's up to us. There's going to be no leaders, really. It is a leaderless opposition. There'll be a few people standing along the way. We've got to back them. The anything but. I have thought about the unintended consequences. We have to still be careful here. We have to use our discernment and be very careful because there's infiltration absolutely everywhere. So judging by their fruits, I mean, you know, the best advice we can ever have, judging by their fruits, use our discernment. But we have to go very, very carefully here. But it's a beautiful moment when we are seeing the grannies, you know, and the mammies. Mm-hmm. And then we're seeing the TV stations like RTE, Virgin Media backed into a corner now. Because they have tricked, number one, they tricked their viewers into a dangerous medical trial that's killing their own viewers. And now they're gaslighting them, pretending it didn't happen. And they're not even mentioning the bioweapon anymore. So it's a shocking time. It's an absolutely shocking time to be alive, but quite invigorating too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. The chaos of it and the madness of it. I like it. I like it personally. That's the way I'm wired up. And many people say, Rick, you're wired up.
You're a warrior.
I literally am. We're wired up, wired up, and there's no two ways about it. And I also think the last time you were on was just after the two referenda crushing defeats by the government. Just on a parting note here, a referendum on an EU court is now in doubt after family and Kerr's vote defeats. So the government, we're talking about another referendum in June, I believe, to do with the new EU court. That's now in severe doubt after they got their both nostrils bloodied after the last two referendum that were put out to do with the Irish Constitution, removing women or mother and removing family and replacing it with durable relationships. So the metal, the rock metal is playing in my ear now. That means it's time to wrap this one up. The time goes by so quick, I think. It's always an absolute blast talking to you. Follower.
Pleasure as always, Rick. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Follower on Substack, Aisling O'Loughlin.substack.com, and also follow our Rumble channel, Aisling O'Loughlin News. Yes, you have a great weekend. Whatever you're going to do, I'm going to just pull the plugs out now, pull this earpiece out and run for the hills. And I'm not coming back again until Monday morning. Have a great one, Aisling. Listeners, thank you so much, guys, and people in the studio for making the magic happen. Stay tuned for more here on TNT. Today's News Talk.